Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of John in chapter 6, the Gospel of John and chapter 6. We're going to be reading verse 47 down to verse 66 this morning. So if you're able to stand, I would encourage you at this time to go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 47. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in him. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As a living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we love you, Lord God, and thank you for loving us, and thank you for this opportunity to be in church. And Lord, I pray as we delve into this passage of Scripture, which could be very hard for some to understand, I pray, God, that you would help us and that you would give understanding and that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many of his disciples. In verse 60, it says, many therefore of his disciples, or if you will, those who were following him. The disciples is talking about there were just not the 12 apostles, but those that had wanted to follow him and be a part of what he had established. When they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And afterwards, the Bible says, they walked away from Christ. Many did this. Can I tell you that many have done and will continue to do this very same thing as we draw closer to the end of time? The Bible talks about great apostasy as we get closer to the rapture of the church and looking toward the end. And whenever that's going to be, who knows? But the Bible gives us signs and gives us understanding about what will take place. There will be a great apostasy, that is, turning away from Christ and his doctrines and turning to religions and other things. But they'll turn away and walk no longer with Christ. Now, as we understand that, the thing that they will do is they will leave and walk away from Christ because they will not move to a higher spiritual level of faith. What needed to happen here was Jesus wanted to lead those that were following him to a higher spiritual level of faith. When our understanding is challenged, and our understanding of things will continue to be challenged, as we get closer to the end days and this world becomes darker as far as spiritual darkness, and it will become darker and darker when it comes to the things of God, our understanding of things, the world's understanding of things, will be challenged. And the only way that we will make it through the challenge is to move ourselves to a higher spiritual level of faith. How important it is. The disciples, those who were following him, were not necessarily saved. The disciples means that they were just following after Christ. And we find in John chapter 6, and it's a long chapter, but there's a lot in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6 and verse 1 through 14, they witnessed Jesus' miracle of feeding the 5,000. These were the 5,000 men, not really including their families, but it reveals to us that he had already revealed to them what he was able to do. And the miracle of feeding the 5,000 was something that they had just experienced. Right after this, it talks about Jesus actually walking on water. Many of those witnessed the fact that Jesus was able to walk on water and cross the lake without a ship. He walked on the water, his disciples on the ship. In that place, it was the 12 apostles. But they actually saw and witnessed him walking in the midst of a storm on the water. Verse 26, we find here that Jesus revealed their inner thoughts, their motive for following him. He says, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, or ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." You're walking after me because you just want a free meal. That's what he revealed to them. Because he knew their inner thoughts. He knew really what was going on. Not that he was the miracle worker. Not that he was the Christ, the Messiah. That's not why many of those were following him. They were following him because they could gain from it. So we find that Jesus revealed their inner thoughts to them. Jesus then, knowing their inner thoughts, wanted to move them to a higher level of spiritual understanding, a higher level of spiritual faith, if you will. And he says right after that, then in verse 35, he says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." He said, you need to believe that I'm the Messiah. You need to believe in me being the Savior of the world. And you don't follow me just because of the bread. So he revealed that in verse 35. In verse 38 he says, "For I am come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." I'm not here just representing man, representing myself, but I'm representing God who sent me. He was God's only begotten Son. So he's trying to help them to see who he is and to move them to a higher spiritual level of faith. In verse 47, verse 48, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life." So again, he's revealing all these things to them. And then, if you will, verse 53 down to verse 58, he talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, which would gross a lot of people out if you thought it was a physical thing that he wanted them to do. But he was not. He was presenting, if you will, the Lord's Supper. He was presenting a spiritual truth that his body would be remembered by the bread that they would eat and his blood that would be sacrificed for them on Calvary's cross. They did not have a complete understanding of yet of the cross. and what that would signify, and that he would have to give of his own self. He would have to lay his life down. He would have to shed his precious blood to be able to be that sacrifice for sin. And when they would see him and his sacrifice and know him to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, then they could receive the free gift of everlasting life. But they would have to see him and the sacrifice that he made for them. And that's the whole idea of communion today. Communion is something, one of the two ordinances that Jesus Christ gave the church. The Lord's Supper and baptism is two ordinances. And the Lord's Supper was for the church to remember the body, amen, the sacrifice that he made in his physical body and the sacrifice that he made in his blood, in shedding his blood. And so he would explain this when he would establish the communion, and he would have them to eat of the unleavened bread. And he said, remember this because this represents my body. And they would have them drink of the fruit of the vine and says, take this and remember this is to remember the blood that was shed. Amen. So he's trying to get them right now to move to a higher level of spiritual understanding. But in their minds, they're just thinking about a carnivore. They're thinking about how could we drink your blood and how could we eat your flesh? And they were thinking more carnal than they were spiritual. They were not at the level of faith to understand what he had taught them, what he was teaching them. Everybody here understand that? Hopefully it just adds a whole lot more insight into this passage of Scripture and why it would have to be as graphic as it was in saying you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And it was a spiritual understanding. It would take faith in what had to take place on the cross of Calvary. That's what he was preparing them for. Many were not at this level. In verse 30, the Bible says, and they said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Really? You just seen him perform the miracle of feeding the 5,000. You seen him walk on water. And you're asking him for a sign? Which helps me to understand they didn't really want to believe. There was plenty of signs and there was plenty of evidence that would point to him being the Messiah if they truly wanted to believe it. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? He says he's come down to heaven. We know his family. We know he's a son of Joseph and he was a son of Mary. They did not believe the virgin birth. They had not come to that level of faith as of yet. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? They're not at that level yet. He was trying to help them to grow and to move to that level of faith. Look at verse 52. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Not at that level yet. They were carnal. They didn't want to move to that level of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, through faith we understand. He's talking about even in Hebrews, Paul's talking about we understand the creation of the world. We understand everything that God would have us to understand concerning who God is, what God has done for us, what God's will is, the future, whatever it might be, the rapture, the millennial reign, everything through faith. We understand. If we don't understand, it's because our faith is not where it needs to be so that we can understand what the Bible says. So why was Jesus so graphic, and why did he present this to them in the way that we've just read it? It was to help them understanding where they were and where he wanted them to get to. He wanted to move them to a higher level of spiritual faith. Can I tell you, that's a great message for us today as we don't know what we're going to face before the rapture of the church. We look at our country, we look at the society that we live in today, and who would have thought that we would be living in such a day in such a few years' time? 20 years ago, you'd tell the church that the laws we would have to be living by and society would be the way it is today and everything else. You'd say, no way, couldn't happen in just 20 years. We've went a long way. We turn a different direction as a nation, and we've turned away from the things of God because we didn't have enough faith. Our level of faith was not there to understand what needed to be done. Who knows what the next 20 years will bring? But in this passage of Scripture, we have this and understanding that I believe that God would continue to have us to move to a higher level of spiritual faith. I want my faith increased on a regular basis. I don't want to live by yesterday's faith, because yesterday's faith will not be enough to deal with tomorrow's battles. If I'm going to continue to see things that ought to see things and understand things as God wants me to understand things, no matter what they might be that we're going to have to deal with and have to go through, then the way for me to do that, the only way for me to remain where God wants me to be, is to increase, move to a higher level of spiritual faith. Some of the most common reasons that Satan uses to get many to walk away from Christ are seen right here in this passage. What's the first? And I believe you'll see this. It's happened. You look back over the last 20 years and you'll find this is the main thing that Satan has used to lead people to walk away from Christ and genuine biblical faith is doctrine. As long as he was feeding them, as long as they would be able to follow him, and he would take care of feeding the 5,000, and he would take care of whatever needs they had, they wanted to follow him by their own admission and by what he revealed to us about their inner thoughts. But when he wanted to start teaching them doctrine, when he wanted to start teaching them, all right, now you need to understand, in order to move to a higher spiritual level of faith, then you have to increase your knowledge of the very words of God. And in order, it begins with understanding who I am. Jesus Christ was telling you, it begins with you understanding that I was sent from God. I'm the virgin-born Son of God. I came as a sacrificial lamb. I will have to lay my life down on the cross of Calvary, but don't be dismayed there, because I will resurrect on the third day. And I will establish the New Testament church, and I will establish and give you the final revelations of the words of God that you'll have with you through the remainder of the church age. Now, those are things that he would eventually reveal to us. They didn't know that then, but where they needed to move now is to understand that this is just not some ordinary man, but he was the very Son of God. And he started wanting to teach them doctrines, the doctrines of who Christ is. Amen. But they didn't care about that. They didn't want to understand about the doctrines of Christ. You see, God's word and his ways are spiritually discerned. If you're going to understand the doctrines and hold to the doctrines, you have to understand why we have to have doctrines. Why the doctrines are so important today. Instead of looking to attend church services for entertainment or for whatever other reasons, the most important reason the church exists today is for humanity to understand the doctrines that God has established. Outside the doctrines that God has established, there are no absolutes. There is not a standard for morality. There's no standards for the home. There's no standards for marriage. There's no standards for church. There's no standards for anybody. Everyone gets to do that which just seems right in their own eyes. And so when you want to stand on the doctrines of the Bible, as we get closer and closer to the end days and the world becomes darker and darker, there's going to be an apostasy of people saying, I don't want to know the doctrines. Because if I truly understand them, I might have to live differently. Yeah. If I would truly understand what this Bible teaches, I might not be able to do the things that I really like doing. Exactly. Exactly what happened here. Wait a minute, who's it? This, we know his family, we know his background. There's no way that this could be, he could come from heaven. And then there's no way that we can eat his flesh and drink his blood. What kind of a lunatic is he? And they walked away. Sometimes I think, even in independent fundamental Baptist churches, when people hear the doctrines, they say, oh, that's crazy. That's not what everybody else is doing. That's not how everybody else is governing their lives. And doctrine causes them to walk away from Christ. Because in 2 John, let me just read to you the verse, a very powerful, powerful verse. In 2 John, verse 9, whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, doctrine, hath not God. You can have religion without having God. And that's where we're headed. Because we don't want the doctrines. We want religion, but we don't want the doctrines. We want to do whatever we want Monday through Saturday, possibly, and then go to church and feel like everything is fine. I'm going to heaven. I am right with God. And that's not true. According to the Bible, if you don't have the doctrines of Christ, you hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. They didn't want to move to a higher spiritual level of faith to understand. It was easier to walk away. And they walked away. Doctrine. The next thing that we find is true. The second leading cause, I believe, that people walk away from Christ, especially as we continue in the society that we live in today, of loving the things of the world and having a greater love for money, is tithes and offerings. Back in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? That I would tell you this? This is something that would go against what you want to believe? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. They're living in the flesh. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life. See, the love of money comes from the love of this world, which is connected to the love of the flesh. A carnal-minded person will never be able to give according to God's word. In order for you to give as God would have you to give and receive the blessings of that, we find the Bible says you have to be a cheerful giver. Matter of fact, look there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Everybody follow me this morning. It's a hard saying, preacher, I know, but that's why I'm preaching it. I want you to understand it. 2 Corinthians, in chapter 9, actually, verse 7 and 8. See, the Bible has established the idea of God's people giving a tithe and offering. 10%, the Bible talks about that. In the Old Testament, it is also revealed in the New Testament, the tithe that God had established in the Old Testament. But the Bible says, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, is a matter of the heart. So let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And when you understand, you've reached that spiritual level of understanding tithes, giving of your tithes and offerings, you understand that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. When you believe that, when you understand that, you have the faith to know that, then what you give according to the will of God becomes that of a blessing. Grudgingly is with regret. No one is a cheerful giver who regrets right after they put it in the offering plate. And you start thinking about what you could have done with that money. That's not a cheerful giver. And the only way to be a cheerful giver is to understand God's plan for giving, God's design for giving, and the understanding of knowing that as you give as God tells you to give, you cannot outgive God. You position yourself for God to take care of you. I need to love God more than the world. I need to love God more than money. I need to love God and have an understanding of God and what it means to give as God would have me to give. But so many do not want to get to that level of faith. They just soon walk away. And just play the religious game. And you decide what you do with God's tithes. And I can surely get more recognition if I take God's tithes and I decide who I want to give it to or who I want to help out. But that's not, you don't understand, that's not God's design. I don't care, I don't want to know God's design. Yeah, and they walk away. Not only grudgingly, but out of necessity, being forced. Well, that church forces you to give 10% of your tithe, and then they even want you to give to missions and offerings. No. No one's, as far as I know it, unless the staff are doing something behind my back, we don't come to collect. We don't send you overdue notices. We don't tack interest on, okay? Penalty payments. No, it's still of a free will. The question is, are you really receiving the blessing or not? And if you're not receiving the blessing, it could be because you're not risen to an understanding of it. And you're not receiving a blessing, so you just think it's easier to walk away. I've had people actually tell me, preacher, I only come once a week, so I only have to give 3% tithe, right? And I said, you give whatever God tells you to give, amen? But if you want the blessings of God, learn what God says about it. I'm not here to determine how much you give or what you give. I'm here to preach the word. You come to this church, you're going to hear the Bible preach. You determine how you apply it. But you will hear it preach as it is given to us by God. And if you don't understand it, it's because you have not moved to a higher level of spiritual faith. Because that's when you get to that place, you'll understand it. And when you understand it, you'll say, thank you, God, for allowing me to give this much, knowing it's going to bring me a blessing. It's already a blessing just to put it in the offering plate. And to know how it's going to put me in a position for your blessings upon my life. That's the joyfulness. That's the cheerfulness. But you have to understand it. You have to understand it. Too many walk away. Other church members. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples, those who were just following, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Can I tell you, at first, they were just kind of looking around. What's everybody else thinking about this? And there would have been the first one that says, I'm walking away. And when that person walked away, another would have saw that individual and say, well, they're walking away, I'm walking away. And another one says, well, if two of them walked away, then surely there's something they have to walk away from. And one by one, they walked away. Following the one that walked away before they did. In the actions, if the actions of someone else could cause us to walk away, how spiritual are we? I mean, reality. If the actions of somebody else, not knowing where they are spiritually, but if I'm following somebody else, if the actions of somebody else toward me even can cause me to walk away, then I'm not at the level that I need to be at. Because my walk is not dependent upon somebody else. My walk with God's dependent upon God and His will for my life. I'm not looking to somebody else and what they've done or something that they have not done. My faith has me focused on Christ and His will for my life. The actions of someone else can cause you to walk away. Reveals that you're not at the level that you need to be at. Yeah. And then finally this morning, I got to quit. Reasons today, same as then. Doctrine, tithes and offerings, giving, others. But the last one is one that I want you to think about. When it's hard to understand God, in our own thinking, you're going to face situations that's going to be hard for you to understand God. Not that God does everything, but God has to allow it. And sometimes we think, why do bad things happen to good people? We try to figure it out and saying that person was worse than that person. Why didn't it happen to them? Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Many, therefore, of his disciples, those who were following, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can understand it? This is a hard thing to accept, and why this happened and why that happened and this over here and that over there. And before you know it, it's hard to understand God. It is. But those that stayed, those that stayed, did you see what kept them where they needed to be? When Jesus addressed his apostles, then said Jesus, verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? He handpicked them. They was able to see more and had a closer walk with God, closer walk with Christ than just the others who was just following him. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, I want you to know this is what we need to be thinking. To whom shall we go? You turn away from God, who are you going to turn to? If you turn away from your faith, there's no hope. There's no help. And Satan will devour you as that predator that he is, seeking whom he may devour, if he can get you to turn away from your own faith. You're destroyed. You're devoured. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe. I'm not going to go backwards in what I believe. I'm not going to stop believing what I know to have been received by faith. I'm not going to let doubt cause me to lose what I've already received by faith. I can't understand means I need to increase my faith. I need to go to a high, move to a higher level of spiritual faith. And that's exactly what the apostles were doing by understanding what they already knew to be truth. Not going to let anything take that away from them. Whom shall we go? And hast thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't ever let Satan talk you out of the basic beliefs. Move to a higher level. Move to a higher spiritual level. And if you're not a Judas Iscariot, who never did believe that Christ was the Son of God, if you're saved, you'll rejoice one day for staying and walking with Christ. They would have to experience a lot of things, even seeing Christ arrested, tortured, crucified. They never lost their faith. They were meeting together, amen, when Christ appeared unto them after the crucifixion. And when he met with them and they were able to see the resurrected Savior, their faith went as high as it could ever go. And they all made the ultimate sacrifice because their faith brought them to a higher level of understanding and are in glory today, rejoicing over not walking away. Don't walk away. Don't walk away. You might not understand it. And if you don't, know what you know. And then move, look to be moving to a higher spiritual level of faith. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. That's what Christ's desire was for all of them. He wanted to help them all to move to a higher level of spiritual faith. And it's recorded for us today. so that we might do likewise. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you have to deal with in the future, but I know this, your faith will see you through it. It's your faith that will get you through it. Don't walk away from it. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church today and for this passage of Scripture that I trust that we all have a better understanding of now. We understand why the things were said that were said, and we have this spiritual insight into helping us and possibly even moving our faith to a higher level. And I pray, God, that everyone here would receive that. There could be someone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that they would not leave this place without coming to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and show them what you say they must do to be saved. What others, Lord, you know their battles, and I pray they would come and receive the help that you have for them. Work in our midst now, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.